Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
That's 1-800-375-4188. And I think Frank can hear us now. I just got a note saying he didn't hear us, but...
Well, we can hear you, Frank.
I can read him anyway, but anyway...
We get to hear. We know what's going on there. We got the place wired where we know what he's saying. But in any case, Frank.
Well, we'll just let him take care of that. But folks, 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs this March 1st, 2013. Gold today had a little bit of a, it's struggling. 1576, folks, down three. It was up and down all day long. We even had a high of 1588 today. Silver, same thing, up and down, up four now at 28.65, had a high of 28.89. Platinum was down 10 at 15.78. And, of course, palladium was down 7 at 725. Interesting day. Had a lot of calls on platinum today. And we wrote quite a lot of business on platinum today. Anytime you get platinum within the same level of gold or even below gold, it really isn't a bad buy. I don't think you can go wrong. The two really go hand in hand, although platinum and palladium are good economy metals. So if you believe you're going to have a great economy, it's not a bad buy, not a bad buy here at these levels. But if you believe we're going into a world depression, and I know I hear, well, China will be buying cars and jewelry. Well, you know what? Where can they drive their cars? Have you ever seen pictures of their streets? And, of course, when the rest of the world, when Europe and the U.S. Slides down the path of into depression, it will have an impact on their purchasing over in China. But it's your belief. We got great prices for platinum and palladium. It's a great way to diversify. In fact, in the 90s, we always offered a little bit of platinum to every portfolio, and people just didn't seem to go for it. So we didn't make it a part of our packages anymore, but it's there if you'd like it. Beautiful. And we have platinum maple leaves. We have koalas, nobles, and I think we so we have a wide variety of product. U.S. dollar index today up 1.30 at 82.27. Crude oil down again over a buck today at 90.92. And, you know, everybody complains when you get up there around $4 a gallon for gasoline. So, you know, they got to put a little bit of pressure on oil. But don't forget, folks, we do export a lot of gasoline. So refineries do it. So that helps keep those prices of crude oil up also. And let's get to the markets today. I don't believe they hit their big peak. But let's see, I haven't looked. They were modestly higher, up 35 for the Dow at 14.089. The NASDAQ up 9 at 31.69. S&P up 3 at 15.18. And the 10-year 185. And I guess the euro did dip below the 130, but it's still there at 130. A lot of commitment to the euro keeping it there. And interesting big headlines where I get my news. The state is taking over Detroit. Governor says emergency manager will run the operations of Detroit due to the huge shortfalls. So I think that's kind of interesting. I'm surprised it took this long for them to go in there. You know, you thought they could should have done it about 2 years ago.
Maybe. No, it's not about when they should have done it. It's about who lost. They had to draw straws to see who's going to have to take care of Detroit, and Michigan lost. That's what happened. The feds, they got a longer straw. Who knows? Adjacent states, but it's not like they're moving in because they want to.
Well, a couple of things that we're going to talk about, Al, today. We're going to be talking about the America's biggest drama queen. And, of course, we're going to continue to talk about quantitative easing and our economy. And I got a couple of articles when we get to, is the U.S. economy still headed for trouble? Americans see the biggest monthly income drop in 20 years. They saw it so dramatically dropped in January that it actually marked the deepest one-month decline in 20 years. And it's interesting because, you know, you read about how great things are doing. You hear about the great housing market. You hear about how great the auto industry is running. But yet I got some other stats here that will tell you things a little bit differently. And I think the most incredible thing is they're not saving as much. On average, people saved about 2.4% of their disposable income in January, down from 6.4% in December. And, of course, this marks the smallest savings rate since November of 2007. What's interesting there is, that, of course, we had the peak stock market at that same time. So it goes to show you, you know, American people don't change much, do they? You know, they start feeling good about themselves. You know, they feel they're benefiting from the housing recovery, Al, and they feel they're benefiting from the rising stock prices, so that they give up and throw out their savings, and, of course, they go and spend. But the key question is, do they really have that disposable income to spend? And, of course, there's also numbers showing that they don't. So we'll be talking about that a little bit further, I guess.
Well, the question, what difference does it make what your disposable income is so long as you've got a MasterCard? You don't have to spend what you got. You could spend what maybe you're going to have.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's what the government does. They believe in deficit spending. Why shouldn't the American people do the same? And a lot of people do.
Well, of course they are doing, and that's why we've had a lot of the problems that we have had. And that's why the American people are losing their shirts. And but their disposable income, and that's the money left over after taxes, dropped 4%. The funny part is, they say after adjusting for inflation. And this is actually the biggest plunge since monthly records began in 1959. My point is, if it dropped 4% after adjusting for inflation, but they tell us we don't have inflation, how could it have dropped 4%? So, and again.
Well, it's one of the mysteries, Melody.
Mysteries. Not a mystery.
You can either look out the window and see what's happening to the world, or you can read the numbers that are published by the government. What are you going to believe, your eyes or the government numbers?
Well, I really do believe disposable income is dropping, and I'm sure it's extremely low. And, you know, the inflation at the report today, of course, they eliminate the food and energy costs. but yet they'll always use the price of oil and gasoline. If there is any inflation above their little 2%, they'll always blame it on gasoline and oil. So, you know, but yet they still exclude the energy costs when they give you the numbers. So it kind of, it is amazing. But
it's like dealing with the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's one of those things where, and if you, and we're coming to a time where if you don't agree with them, you just might have the Red Queen saying, off with their heads, off with their heads.
But I saw, and in relationship to all this, I saw something about automobiles. It showed that it's interesting that really people can't afford automobile, but yet they say how great the automobile industry is coming along. And they listed the cities of those that are most likely able to afford, that are able to have a household budget for automobiles. And it was this interesting, the top five cities were Washington, no surprise there, San Francisco, Boston, Baltimore, no surprise there, but Minneapolis. I'm thinking, Minneapolis? It just kind of took me by surprise. And then at the other end of the scale, they showed the five cities least able to handle a car payment. And there were some cities on there that kind of surprised me. They had Miami, which, you know, you think of Miami as a wealthy city. Tampa, always figured Tampa would be a little bit to the wealthy side. They did have Detroit. That's understandable. But Detroit and Miami are next to each other. In fact, it showed Detroit had a higher average household income than Miami.
That's so,
it showed the average.
I don't.
It showed the average. It showed the average household income is $48,000, almost $49,000. In Detroit.
And what is it in Miami?
45.
Well, I don't know. You don't need as much money to live down there on the beach. You don't need homes.
Well, you don't need. You don't have heating.
Just go live on the beach. That's all.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
But it's very simple. You know, you talk about automobiles, though. I saw a report back about a month or 6 weeks ago, and I think we may have talked about it on the program. Do you know what percentage of the average American's budget goes to transportation costs, meaning cars, including gasoline and insurance and so on, maintenance, car?
It's significant.
30%. 30% of your disposable income, ladies and gentlemen, at least according to this one report, is going to keeping a car. Now, when you stop to think about that, that's a lot of money, point one. It's a big percentage of your budget, point two, and it does not bode well for the automobile industry in the near future. I mean, you can bet that in times of economic stress, one way or another, you're going to have to cut back on your automobile expenses. And that you can't see that and sit back and say, oh, they're going to be selling, GM's going to be selling a bunch of cars, and Ford will be selling, Chrysler and so on. Well, yeah, they'll be selling. I'm not predicting they're going out of business, but I'm saying this is not. If a car costs 15% of your income, all right, that's something we can all probably afford without 30%. I mean, it's getting close now where you have to choose whether you're going to drive or eat. Which one are you going to do? And chances are you're going to choose to eat rather than drive. And if you have to, you'll ride the bus or public transportation rather than the automobile. And that means, that implies that automobile stocks are going to be under a lot of stress in the next, who knows, the year, 2 years, however long it takes. But what else, Melody?
We're going to talk about who's the biggest drama queen, Hal.
All right. Well, before we do, here's
got to be a male, right? Drama king?
We're going to do drama queen for
drama
the sake.
Drama king?
Of, yeah, we're going to do drama, drama queen on this.
King.
Who's the biggest drama queen? I'm doing drama queen. Who's America's biggest drama queen? And I'm bringing this up because Washington Times reports sequestration process begins. Congress fails to reach agreement on budget fixes before deadline. That's the headline. The federal government careened into the $85 billion spending sequesters Friday, embracing some of the biggest budget cuts in American history, though it will take weeks for most of the pain to be felt. Well, we've all been listening for weeks, maybe months, a couple of months, but weeks certainly, about OMG. We're going to have the sequesters are going to hit on March 1st, and we're all going to die. And who has been promoting that more than anyone else? President Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, my gosh, the world is coming to an end because of these. In any case, the government, they'll begin writing plans on how to furlough employees here in the future. Furlough notices will go out coming weeks, and federal contractors and state and local governments will have to adjust to lower federal spending. It's been described altogether as a bad idea whose time has come. But just how bad is this idea of sequester? They're going to cut spending by $85 billion this year, which is about 3% of the projected budget. 3%. The sequester will take place over 6 months. That means that on average, the federales will have to cut their spending by 0.5% per month for the next 6 months. Imagine you earn $5,000 a month in disposable income, and you were forced into a similar sequester of your income. You'd have to cut your monthly spending by 0.5%, $25 per month, about the price of one dinner in a decent restaurant. That means that in the first month, instead of spending $5,000, you could only spend $4,975. Boy, that would ruin your month, wouldn't it? In the second month, instead of spending $5,000, you'd be cut to $4,950 and so on until you get the sixth month where you could only spend $4,850 rather than $5,000. You would be inconvenienced by $150 a month during the first year. That's what it would come down to at the end of the six-month period. But it would go $25 a month out of your $5,000. Would you whine? Would you cry? Would you warn that if you were forced to cut your monthly spending by 3% over 6 months, that the sky would definitely fall and the world would come to an end? Would the threat of cutting your budget by 3% over a period of 6 months turn you into as big a drama queen as President Obama? I don't think so. Right? I think we can make a case and we can start thinking this way. I think this is an interesting idea to me. We talked a little about a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. I think we addressed that yesterday. We talked about it a little. And government has embraced this crisis mentality that everything's a crisis. And oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. I think maybe it's not a bad idea to start calling President Obama and others in Congress and in the Senate who are pushing this. Oh, my gosh, we've got an enormous crisis in front of us. Maybe it's time to start referring to them as drama queens. And this month's award, let's make it the February award for drama queen of the month, is President Obama. Maybe we'll have another award this month in March. At the end of the month of March, maybe we'll pass out another award for drama queen of the month. What do you think, Melody?
Well, possibly. Yes.
Dianne Feinstein.
Mm-hmm.
We could call her Drama King of the Month. Maybe we can do a little bit of we'll watch and see.
Yeah.
Maybe Nancy Pelosi. Hard to say. Mm. There are a bunch of candidates. There are a bunch of competitors for the Drama Queen of the Month award, and we'll just see.
I don't know any more of these politicians. They're just a bunch of whiny babies that can't do anything.
Yeah, you say whiny babies, I say drama queen, and Frank says it's time for commercial.
And they all go on vacation. They're out of there. Oh,
yeah.
We can't do anything. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Idiot. Thank you.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And now it's time for Melody to tell us if she do or if she don't have a special for today.
Drum roll, please.
I heard the drum roll.
Well, I'll tell you, it's Friday, and specials today, everything we have, all specials, all orders today after 4 o'clock, you will receive a free Silver Eagle. How's that for making it up for special for today? Free Silver Eagle on any order after 4 o'clock today.
4 o'clock Eastern time.
4 o'clock Eastern time.
And how long is that going to last? How long will people
be? Till 6 o'clock.
Eastern time. So, and 4 o'clock will start in a little over a half hour. All right, so after the program is done, you'll have 2 hours. Place an order, you get a free Silver Eagle. Right?
That's correct.
All right, good, good. Such a deal, such a deal. What else have we got, Melody?
I guess we had a little bit of problems with WBCQ, one of our stations. I guess they have problems airing, and also WWCR is changing our frequency at the 8 o'clock Eastern time, which is now on 3.190, and we will be going back to frequency 6.875 on March 10th, which our first day of broadcasting that week will be on the 11th, so March 11th. So mark your calendars. Those who listen to the 8 o'clock Eastern program on shortwave radio on March 11th, it is going to be changed. The frequency will go back to 6.875. So we'll try to remember to make that announcement next week, Al.
All right, I will. I'll tie a string around my finger
Melody. Would you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And it might be one of those strings that dissolves easily. You wash your hands, take a bath, whatever, the string dissolves. So then maybe I won't remember, so it'll be up to you.
All righty.
You're going to have to remember.
We got a question in from Ivan. This actually came in on yesterday's program, and I promised him it would be the first thing we talked about today. Well,
but it wasn't, was it?
The first thing we'll talk about.
We talk about, Ivan, as soon as we get done talking about the other things, yours will be first after that.
Moody has downgraded the English economy from AAA to AA1. Would that possibly make the English pound on parity with the euro?
I can't answer the question because I don't really know. They've degraded. They've knocked the credit rating down.
Yeah, they did. But I don't think it would have anything to do with the currency trading because all these countries are manipulating their own currency. So I'm not sure that the rating would have anything to do with the actual currency.
I think if anything, hard to say, but it's not conducive.
And look at ours.
To inflating. It's not conducive to inflating the English pound. I mean, if the credit rating is going down, they're not going to be able to borrow money as easily. That means, in theory, there's going to be less borrowing. That means, in theory, there's going to be less spinning out of thin air and printing. Hard to say, but I don't have an answer for Yvonne because I don't really know. I don't even have a good opinion on what the likely consequences are to the English currency by reducing the credit rating. But in
I mean, we had our
actually,
credit.
It works. It kind of, you can look at it from a couple of different directions.
Mm-hmm, you could
maybe it'll inflate, maybe it'll deflate, but I'm not sure.
As far as parity, I mean, our current rating was downgraded, and our currency got stronger. So, here's a question in from Robert McCleary: are we not to reach the budget deficit ceiling again sometime by the end of May? Or March, sometime by the end of March, the charade will continue to be a week-by-week sideshow.
Exactly.
Yep.
I agree with them 100%. It won't be quite week-by-week, but it will be every couple of months. We're going to see this on a regular basis until they finally get rid of the debt ceiling, which I expect they'll do because my understanding is there's only one other nation in the world, I think it's Holland, that has a legal debt ceiling that the government has to deal with. If once they hit that ceiling, they have to pass special laws to allow them to exceed it. And, of course, the government is going to exceed the debt ceiling. You're not going to persuade them to stop going deeper into debt. They can't. You know, they just can't hold it together without going deeper and deeper into debt. And it is another illustration. There will be more contenders for our monthly Drama Queen of the Month award. As they say, oh my gosh, as soon as we get done with the fiscal cliff, then it's, oh my gosh, we got the sequester, and then it will be, oh my gosh, it's going to be the next debt ceiling problem, and there will be more of these OMG moments, and they will continue throughout the year, and all the drama queens will do their number, and I'm just suggesting, maybe it's time, you know, there are serious problems, and I understand that. But there are people in Washington who don't want to solve the problems. They want to exploit them. They absolutely line up with Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton's comment that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. They understand that you can exploit a crisis. They understand that when they give us the OMG moment and they're saying that, oh, we're going to have terrible problems here in just a moment because this, that, and the other. People are just getting fed up with it. We've got a little bit of a little boy who cried wolf. You know, sooner or later he's going to cry wolf, and there maybe will even be a wolf, at which point he's in deep trouble because nobody's going to pay any attention to him. But the point I want to make is that government's principal business is not to exploit crises, but to end them. And the government doesn't do that. Government sees a crisis as an opportunity. They don't see it as a problem to be solved. They see it as an opportunity. And it's wrong. It's dangerous. It's contrary to all of our welfare. In the name of emergencies and crises, what they're sitting down, they're saying, oh, well, we've got to take some of your rights away, folks, because it's an emergency. They see that as an they treat it as an opportunity to grab power. And completely contrary to what they should be doing. They should be solving emergencies, not creating them, and not exploiting them. Solve them. That's what should be done. What else, Melody?
We also have a question in. He's a client, and he says, since there are many websites that point out about the fraud of government news, the news media, and the banks, why can't you as a group declare viewers to boycott watching news media and their sponsors given and starting with a given date? There are enough people who would do this, and it wouldn't take long for them to change. You have to hit them in the pocketbook, otherwise nothing will change. Let news media go get unemployment checks.
I think it's a good idea, and I think we've just seen something in the news just in the last day or two, where the number of people who trust the mainstream news is less than 10%. Most of the people, the majority of Americans, distrust mainstream media. That has to mean that they're excuse me, losing market share. It has to mean that they are, you know, they're losing money as more people go to the internet. Increasingly, people look to the internet and non-mainstream programs to try to find out what might be really going on. They know we're not getting the truth out of the mainstream. Then you wind up fishing. You wind up looking on the internet. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that tells us truth. There's a lot of it that tells us hoax. You have to filter through and see if you can find sources that you think are reliable. And you've got to keep watching those sources to make sure they stay reliable. But it, you know, at least we have an opportunity to find sources of information and news that may be honest, truthful, you know, insightful. We're not getting it. People don't think they're getting it from the mainstream news. So is it time to call a boycott of the mainstream news? I think you're probably correct. It would take some doing, but on one level, it's already happening. If you've got something like 90, 95% of the people who don't trust the mainstream news, it's being boycotted right now. So good idea. Idea whose time has come. Are we going to jump on a bandwagon and try to make it happen here? I don't think we've got enough reach. We certainly can't make it happen. We can talk about it. You know? And then, who knows? Might go viral. You know, turn off the television. Stop listening to
the one thing I learned a long time ago, there's a lot of great ideas out there and things that could really make an impact. But the problem is there's no organization. And even when we were getting high, and the first time we had high gasoline prices to $4, over $4, and there was rumors that the truckers were going to, you know, go on strike and they were going to boycott and they were going to do this and do this. I have a lot of truckers as customers, as my one advertiser. She promoted that industry and she was very connected. So I had a lot of truckers that were my clients. So I asked them, I says, well, is this true? And he says, hey, it's great. He says, we do it. He says, but it can't be organized. There's no organization in any of these grassroots movements. And, you know, they get going, they get infiltrated, and the next thing you know, it goes bust. And it just doesn't seem. It's you get people in there who get their own agendas. They have their own thinking, and it needs to be. And people, not only in Washington, can't get together anymore, it seems.
Well, what holds, how is it that they can get together in Washington, Melody?
They can.
How is it that they can?
They are? Are they together in Washington?
I mean, there's a certain amount of concerted action to try to advance gun control, for example. that people do operate. I mean, I know that there's differences in polarization, but if you even allow within the Republican Party, there's a certain amount of cooperation. Within the Democrats, certain amount of cooperation. Not ideal, not perfect, but what holds them together and allows them to act in concert where people out in the grassroots tend to be disorganized? What's the difference?
Most of those, the answer is graft.
Okay, here's the problem. The people in the grassroots are not bribing people to do what they want.
They're blackmailed.
The government does it all the time. They're not together because they like each other. They're not together because they're buddies. Most of them would probably welcome having half the Senate, half the House cleaned out and eliminated. But there's money to be made. So as long as there's money to be made, people work together in those circumstances. And there's a problem for the grassroots. We don't make money doing the right thing. You just do it because you want to do it. You think it's right. Maybe you're making a mistake. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. But you're not making any money off the deal. So it's hard to keep people organized. Government doesn't have that problem. As long as they can spin it out of thin air, they can make money available. What else, Melody?
Yeah, and that's just what Frank said. You have a group that's organized, and it gets infiltrated, and it's very difficult to do. And not only in Washington are they bribed, but they're blackmailed. I mean, they don't have very good histories,
Well, the thing about it, though, the government will subsidize. They'll not only infiltrate. Sometimes they'll subsidize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, for example, if you're trying to build a bomb, well, the government is there to make the supplies available. Did they hear you talking about building a bomb? Well, it just so happens that I can supply the parts of the equipment and the explosives. Now, they allegedly did that on the first bomb attack on the World Trade Center back before 9/11. There was one a decade earlier, and they helped in order to prove that they were loyal members of the group. They were the suppliers of explosives, or at least materials that people thought were explosives. The government doesn't just infiltrate, they subsidize. So, I don't know. The whole thing just becomes nuts. Who is doing the right thing just because it's the right thing? You know, if you can't make a buck, what's the point? That's the way the government operates. And it is cause for concern. It just makes you sigh and, oh, my God.
Let's talk about, do you think we're getting, I guess we're going into a break here shortly about the some signs about our economy. We talk about it. We see the stock market hitting peaks. They talk about the better housing market. And are these things really true? Are things really getting better? I think most people who listen to this program and other ones like this, they all agree that it's not. It's pretty easy to see the signs if people have eyes to see. If you look around and family and friends, you know things aren't getting better. So if things are not getting better, yeah, we are headed for bigger trouble in the months ahead. And not only does it affect you personally and your purchasing power, but it's going to affect a lot bigger your pension plans, your retirement funds. This is what we talk about, the big picture, not what's happening today, not because gold dropped $100, not because the stock market's up there at a 2007 high. It's the bigger picture. You have to look out a little bit further. You have to plan for what's coming.
What's coming now are some commercials. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody, we need to make a correction on the time on the special. People can call in and they get a free silver eagle.
With
free
a purchase.
Silver dollar or free silver eagle?
With the purchase. They just can't call in and get a free silver eagle. You have to make a purchase. Poor Carla's there. She's probably going crazy. No. If you make a purchase today, you will receive a free silver eagle in your purchase.
Okay.
Along with free shipping.
Okay.
So we'll include that too. But it has to be Eastern times only, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. If you want to leave a message for the late night viewers, leave a message and we can call you back tomorrow. I'm not working till midnight tonight. I did that already a couple times this week. I'm not going to do it tonight. So just leave a message and we'll return your call. And on your message, just tell us what you'd like to, when's a good time to call you back. I don't like to call anybody on, Sundays. I don't like to call folks on Sundays, and lots of times Saturdays, everybody is out and about. So just leave a good day and time to call you, and we'll do that. So,
all right, but in any case, we're going to get to 6 o'clock will be the last time you'll be able to catch anybody on the phone, and that will happen not in 2 hours and 15 minutes. It'll happen by hour and 15 minutes.
Actually, yeah, they'll have till midnight tonight because this
okay,
program,
but they won't catch a live body.
But they'll won't catch a live body.
Yeah. All right, that's fine.
How do you catch a live body?
I don't know. Anyway, it probably has. It
very carefully.
There's some bodies you may want to catch and some you don't want to catch. But when I was younger, I always it was always a certain amount of alcohol was always helpful. It was easier to catch the live bodies with benefit of alcohol, but.
Is Bob Woodward and the White House a charade or the real thing? In essence, are the liberals turning on Obama?
Well, they ought to. You know, I mean, the reality is, as much as they'd like to have as closely assimilated or as close as the image of a black man in the White House is to a liberal triumph, it's pretty hard to hold that together when you look
at the war after war after war. You look at the drones killing people around the world. You have Nancy Pelosi saying, well, sometimes we don't have to confess when we've killed people. I mean, that has got to be hard for the liberals to understand. It's got to be hard for them to accept. That's the sort of thing we might be able to get out of George Bush and say, well, yeah. You know, if you're a Bush supporter, you might say, well, yeah, hooray for fascism. But what we have is a president who is behaving in many regards as if he were a fascist. And that can't be music to the ears of the liberals, so there's got to be some significant discontent. There have got to be people that are sitting back and saying, oh my gosh, who did I vote for? I mean, they're going to want to sit out the next election. Some of them are just going to be so disappointed, just as I was with George Bush. I liked George W. Bush when he was first elected. I was, yay. You know, took me a certain amount of time to realize that this guy was not, you know, he was saying the words I wanted to hear, but his actions were not consistent with those words, in my opinion. And I came to a point where I was ready, if he was in the same room, I was ready to go across a table to lay hands on his throat. I'm sure there are liberals right now that are getting a dose of the same thing I got out of George Bush. They're getting it from Barack Obama. So, what do you say? Do we need better candidates, Melody, or should we just give up voting completely and to heck with it?
I just think you and I should run on a ticket.
Yeah. I've thought about starting a third party for years. I've talked to you about this before. I've thought about a third party, and it would be on a statewide basis. There would be the Independence Party of Texas and the Independence Party of Oregon and the Independence Party of Pennsylvania, in theory, if that was the name of it. The parties would not be nationally affiliated. They'd have a great deal in common, but there'd be no national structure, and the party would be intended to represent the best interest of each state. And the platform for the party would be the Declaration of Independence. That would be the party platform. All right? There wouldn't be anything additional. We celebrate the Declaration of Independence every 4th of July. It's got everything that this country really needs to return to prosperity and power and glory. It's all there in the Declaration of Independence. I think it's the sort of thing people could rally around that. And it's the sort of idea that if you're lucky, if you're blessed, sort of thing that, who knows, under the right circumstances, it could go viral. You could put that party together in almost no time on the internet, assuming that anyone else thought the idea was as, I don't know, inspiring as I do. Now, a lot of people might not, but I think it would be a great, great idea. In any case, you know, we could elaborate more on it another time, perhaps, but third party. You know we're being betrayed by the Republicans, and you know we're being betrayed by the Democrats, and we're always voting for the lesser of two evils. The reason most of us vote Republican is because we hate the Democrats even more than we hate the Republicans, and the Democrats, the reason they vote Democrat is they hate the Republicans even more than they hate the Democrats. I mean, who really likes, loves, admires, respects their own political party? Everybody knows this is mostly a bunch of crooks and criminals, hustlers and con artists. And the only reason we vote for one is because we think the other one is even worse. Isn't it time we had a party that tried to do what was right rather than what was personally profitable? That would be the idea behind this third party. This, again, Declaration of Independence be the party platform.
We have a caller, Al Wilbur, from Alabama.
Oh, Wilbur.
Well, yes, I enjoy your program, The Days of the Week, that it's on, but I have a question. Now, this is it's probably off topic, because when I thought of it earlier, you were talking about the silver gold. I took your advice, Melanie, on the precious metals. But a topic or a thought for you to develop either now or some other time and talk about it again is, if someone had like $5,000 or $10,000 to spend in the next few months on preparation what percentage, how would they allocate that you would recommend for like food, fuel, finances, and so forth? And if you could break that down, you don't have to answer me now, but if sometime in the future, discuss that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Wilbur. That's a very good question. And I'm going to start. Thank you, Wilbur.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. People do get confused. I've seen how people spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on food and fuel, and you know, they go overboard on some things. And I think my personal view is people need to take stock first of what they have. And they, because everybody's different on what they need. Food is certainly important, but I've seen people purchase, and we've been told to have a minimum of a year or 2 year. I know people who have probably 20 years of food available. Personally, I probably have about a year and a half, but I know, and I have no problems with knowing I have to extend that, or I could extend it to last me an additional year. I think when we go into some sort of a situation where we rely on our storable food, we're not going to be eating three meals a day and with snacks in between, because it's all about fitting in also. And certainly if you're surrounded by folks who aren't prepared, they don't want to, you know, see you gaining weight, you know, while they're losing weight. So it's very important to fit in. And so it's really take stock of what you have. It's what's suitable for you. As I, Al, when I go grocery shopping, I'll pick up dry soups. You want to buy things that last and you can spread and even share if you have to. So I like soups. I like, you know, things for breakfast, you know, where they have maybe pancakes, things that you can spread and share with other folks, because we will be taking care of more people than what we plan for. And I don't know if you have a percentage, Al, that you would consider a little more detailed.
Know, you can talk about percentages and the rest, but in order to know what percentage you need to invest in food and what percentage you need to invest in gold and what percentage you need to invest in firearms, right?
Yeah.
You pretty much have to be prophetic, and you have to understand exactly what sort of circumstance you think we're coming into. If there is still a fairly viable economy, then gold and silver are going to be really important. Mm-hmm. All right? On the other hand, if everything absolutely collapses to the point where people are reduced to working with bows and arrows, then gold and silver is, under those completely primitive circumstances, you know, you've got some shiny metal. It's not the same thing. It's, where do you think we are headed? One of the things you're going to have to think about, I agree that food is probably the first thing you want to store. Right? I think certainly a percentage of your budget has to go into food. But insofar as you're storing food, guess what? You better also put part of your budget into firearms. Because Melody's saying, well, you get plenty because you're going to probably wind up helping other people that you weren't planning on. Well, yeah, that may be true. And it may also be true that when the neighbors figure out that you've got some soup and they don't, you're going to be helping people whether you like it or not. And wow, you might have enough food to last for a couple of years, and next thing you know, they got the neighbors knocking on the door or busting in through the door, and you don't have any food left at all. So if you have things of value, you will also need guns, ammunition, perhaps to protect whatever you have of value. So you've got guns, you've got food, you've got gold and silver, you know, and if you already have guns, you don't need to buy any more. Got enough ammunition, you're good. Got enough food to last you for a year or two, and you think you can, you know, worst case scenario. Some people figure the most you need is 90 days in food supply. Some people think 6 months. Some people think a couple of years. Who knows? I don't know. You know, you got to have a gift of prophecy in order to say for sure. But there's a place for all of it, and the most important thing is that you do something. All right? Worst case scenario, you may be the guy on your block who's got 10,000 rounds of ammunition, which you might not use, but you could trade with the other guy for some soup. All right? Or maybe you've got some gold and you can buy firearm or soup from the other guy. Hard to say how it's going to work out, but you got to have something. Understand? Got to have something of value, because worst case scenario, you may not be able to earn anything, and that's the problem. If you can't earn anything, how do you pay for your survival? How do you buy more food if you don't have a job? Absolute worst case scenario, that's what could happen. You could be completely unemployed. And if your savings are denominated in paper debt instruments like Federal Reserve notes or stocks or bonds, there is a good chance that they will turn out to be worth less, or at least they may be worthless, or they could, their value may be diminished dramatically. You can't rely on those savings in a worst case scenario to get you through. If you can't work, how are you going to survive? So you got to have something. You make up your own mind what you want to have. Some of everything is probably, you know, just some balance. Put a 20% into firearms and 40% into food and 40% into gold and silver. It's not an unreasonable formula. Might not be ideal, but it's not unreasonable.
Yeah, it's all suitable to each individual. And the thing that's nice about gold and silver by using it as a bartering item is, and I think, Al, you explained it before in a couple of articles, you know, if you need soup and the guy has soup, but all you have is bread, and he already has bread, then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
But everybody will want your gold and silver. That is something that they won't turn away, because then they can go and purchase whatever they need that you don't have. So that's why it's so important to add gold and silver in your portfolios with bartering and using in mind. It's very, very important. Mm-hmm. These packages that we talk about, the AU $5 Liberties and the 90% silver, those are two of the best bartering items that you can have. You got 90%. I mean, it's all good, you know, and usually one's not better than another, but these are great little things to have. Almost a quarter ounce of gold, and you have your 90% silver. And even in an extreme emergency, you don't want to do this, because it's, you always want to get the gold content out of your gold and silver first. But if you had to, you can still take that 90% silver to the store and spend it in that extreme emergency. So it is something that they will also take. So that's why those packages are great. That's why we continue bringing them, and that's why they continue to be one of the most popular packages that we've offered here at Discount Gold and Silver.
We're out of time, Melody. I want to thank all you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, always sunny.